This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Fiesta Watch. This is your host, Noah, and joining me is the host with the most, more than me, I guess, is Wyatt Lyles. Wyatt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very good, especially since I apparently have the mostest, so that makes me very happy because I always want to be ahead of everything, you know?
Yeah, well, like, I started off and I just said I'm the host, and I'm like, well, it's true, but I'm a co-host as well. So I wanted to give you some extra props to kind of make up for that. Now we're
even. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I do have the co-host label, so I guess I should have a little bit of extra just so I can make up and make it even since you're technically the host, you know, air quotes.
Hypothetically, I'm just the one who shouts at the beginning and the end.
That's very true. That's very true. You have a better shouting voice than I do.
Okay. I'll take that to the bank. So our producer, regular producer, is out of town this weekend doing God knows what in the lawless city of Washington, D.C., I think? Okay, so wow. E or N.A., okay. We've got two weekends of playoff matches coming up. Where do you want to start?
Let's start at EU because I think our N.A. matchups are going to be a little bit juicier, so let's get the EU stuff out of the way first and look at these matchups. So first off, we've got Misfits versus Splice. So first impressions, give me your thoughts, Noah. What are we looking at here?
When I look at this matchup, I think Misfits will win. But, like, I can't really be convinced by anything, right? Like, I don't have any... I feel like it's... If I have any strong opinions, that I could easily be wrong, right?
Yeah, agreed.
How do you want to do this? You want to break this down lane by lane? Or do you just want to talk about the matchup as a whole?
I think we can talk about the matchup as a whole. Okay. I mean, unless you think there's any lanes here that kind of stick out to you. But, I mean, they look like it's not going to be anything too out of the ordinary. I think it's mainly going to come down to just an overall team game. Who's going to be able to get the better picks? Because there really isn't anybody on these teams that have the propensity to kind of just take over completely. I mean, you might have some good games from like Kakao or Power Evil, but it's nothing where they're not going to faker their way out of things or going to do faker things and all that kind of stuff. You know,
right? One of the European casters, I forget which one, referred to Wonder and Trashy as the Huni Rainover of Europe. Which, A, state of your league if your Huni and Rainover are on, like, the 5 seed in playoffs, but whatever, right? It's not this
week. We won't bash. We'll try not to bash EU so much this week. I know last week we kind of took them to,
you'll try to
the back a little bit. Yeah.
I had to stay up for these games. But I think there's carry potential on both sides. I guess the biggest issues I would have would be with consistency, right? If you look at Misfits, I think Hansama and Ignar in the bot lane are fairly inconsistent in that. Sometimes they pop off. Sometimes they're – most of the time they're, like, average. They're the average bot lane, which is fine.
Yeah. But
sometimes Ignar gets himself in trouble, right? And he gets picked on trying to make plays. I also see Alfari as a potential – vulnerability because I think Wonder is the better top laner. But like Senku, I feel like Senkuk's Senku and Power of Evil match up really well. I feel like Kakao and Trashy should be interesting. I think Kakao will have interesting routes. I think Trashy is the better mechanical player as of right now, unless Kakao will prove me wrong.
Yeah, I mean Kakao he's had some pretty good games. You know, he's been no slouch, but you're right. I think overall Trashy is going to be the better overall. So Kakao's going to have to look for those small windows where he can just kind of break into it and maybe, you know, catch Trashy out, maybe do some early pathing into Trashy jungle to get him off base. That's probably going to be his key to victory, is just kind of playing a little bit of an abnormal game just to overcome or overcompensate for the fact that he isn't as mechanically strong as a player like Trashy.
Right. And it's not like we're trying to knock Kakao's mechanics here. I just feel like...
Definitely, yeah.
Like, when you think of the champions that Kakao's been really impactful on this split, it's been stuff like Ivern, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He's not the Lee Sin god. He's like, I'm a Lee, and I'm going to predict where you are and just kill you in your jungle. Okay, so we've talked. I think we've talked a fair bit about the matchup. Let's get a prediction in. Wyatt, we'll start with you. Misfits versus Splice. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Misfits in this one, and I don't think it's going to be super close. I see this one as a 3-1, okay. Just because, you know, Splice is good, but Splice has had a little bit of a tendency to kind of stink things up quite a bit at random moments throughout the series or throughout the split. So I wouldn't be surprised if they failed to show up in, you know, a couple of these games and just kind of give things up to Misfits, especially the fact that if you look at their groups, Group B was just the weaker group overall.
Right.
Because you had two guys at the top, you know, Unicorns and HK were playing really good, but then everybody else was just bad. I mean, you had the 0-13 Origin, Vitality 3-10, whereas over in Group A, everybody was kind of in that same bracket. You know, it was G2.
Getting
and then,
clobbered by G2, yeah.
Yeah, G2, you know, owned things, and then Giants just didn't really do much, but then the other three were kind of neck and neck throughout the entire split, so that was a bit more competitive. So I think Misfits is a little bit more battle tested than Splice is, so that's why I'm going to give the edge over to Misfits.
Really?
Yeah.
You think, okay, so Splice went to Worlds and they were in the group of death and they held their own kind of. You think of Misfits squad that had to go through the rigors of EU Challenger, where there's like three semi pros. Or not semi-pros, that's a mean meme. Three, like, former pros. I actually think Splice is going to take this. I think it's going to be a 3-2. And
okay.
I'm looking at Splice, and recently, and their recent run has been, they've been playing really well, right?
Yeah.
And I think they have strengths where Misfits have potential weaknesses. Misfits haven't been looking too hot either. And just like, in Misfits' last series, I think they got kind of exploited, right?
Yeah, I can see that.
So... And I think Splice is, I see Splice as like the CLG of Europe. And this is a, and I always make the comparison of, oh, this team is the CLG of blank. But when you look at a team like Splice, they are super dedicated to teamwork. They love to work off of each other and rotate around the map as a group. I think Splice can overcome the tactical advantages that Misfits might have through their shot calling and their superior planning through like guys like Kakao and Ignar. So yeah, 3-2 displays. Well, at the end of the day, we'll see who's right.
We will see.
All right, but let's move right along to H2K versus Fnatic, the matchup that everybody has seen like 80,000 times ever since H2K joined the EULCS. This year, it's way less hype than it has been in the past.
Yeah,
you do have some cool storylines like Fabivan playing his old team.
Honestly, that's about it. And and I think that's probably about the most exciting thing that's going to come from this series, too, is the fact that Fabivan is playing his old team, because when it comes to the action in-game, we're not going to see anything too flashy. I don't think we're going to see some pretty standard H2K games just kind of taking Fnatic to town.
Will you down, death by 1,000 paper cuts kind of style?
Exactly. Yeah, I don't think we're not gonna see anything inventive. They're just gonna kind of stick to their game, and it's gonna be enough, because Fnatic just, I haven't seen anything from Fnatic this split that leads me to believe that they're gonna be all that strong. Especially when you look at the fact that they ended with the same record as Rocket, who started off, you know, playing terribly. So the fact that you're ending up with the same record
doesn't matter now.
I mean, that's true. That's true. I mean, it is a, you know, what have you done for me lately kind of thing, just like any other sport. Mm-hmm. But just still overall, Fnatic just has never wowed me. They just kind of always play a bit average, in my opinion. So I'm not really looking for anything special here. I think H2K is going to take this one 3-1, probably. I know I keep saying this is the second time I've done 3-1. I promise I'll have different.
It's a safe score.
It really is. But I'll have more competitive scores to talk about when we get to the good region that we're going to talk about today.
Whoa! So, now you're flaming. Hold on.
I mean, I'm doing it in like a subtweeting kind of way. You're just outright doing it. You know, I'm just kind of subtly doing it.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Because you're not being blasé about it. It makes it better for some reason. Okay.
Exactly.
I have a question for you. You don't believe in Baby Faker Caps? You don't think he's going to? God, wasn't that a prediction? Somebody called him Baby Faker, and he made like one. He had like one good series against, who was it, where he popped off?
I forget who that was.
It was against somebody good. I'm hesitant to say H2K. It's been a while. It's been a long year.
Yeah, exactly. But the fact that he had one good performance, and we're like, oh, he's the next coming of Faker, who is, you know, the greatest player, ever. Arguably the greatest player to ever play this game.
Caps at his peak is worse than Peke at his peak. I'm not putting him in the Froggen tier.
Yeah. Right?
Because even though still, I think Peke has had more international success, like Froggen's a better player. Arguably.
Yeah.
Right? But like.
Yeah, I agreed.
Caps is okay. I don't know anything about Broxa. I've watched him play like 4 times. I still know nothing about him. So Az is going to. There's a complete mismatch in the top lane, I think. Orolame should have no problem against Soaz. I think historically has hated playing tanks. And right now he has to play a tank or else Odawame is just going to smash him. It's like Odo's Rumble is really solid. His Camille is really solid. Jankos is probably going to get a lot of early pressure off. And a lot of Fnatic's chances of winning usually just rely on Reckless's shoulders, right?
I agree, yeah. If Reckless if he pops off and has some really strong games, yeah, they have the potential to maybe steal like one or two games. But I don't think relying on your ADC, especially in a meta where ADCs are just not that strong. Yeah, he might pull out like a Lucian
AD
or
Kennen.
Something like that.
He's going to play AD Kennen every game because when Reckless needs a carry, he just plays AD Kennen because he literally is like, okay, so as you're terrible at frontlining, I stunned the entire team for you. Please just chain CC with me. And then he rolls his eyes as they win the team fight, right? But
yeah, basically. But that's not going to be good enough to win you 3 games against a team like H2K.
Especially when H2K are so good at exploiting weaknesses, right? Like,
exactly.
I don't think H2K's bot lane is particularly, they don't have that wow factor, right? But Jankos is so good at abusing mismatches in lanes, and if he's talking in the perfect other jungle, he will dominate the early game. And as long as H2K don't throw, which I don't think they will, I think H2K should be able to comfortably take this one 3-1. My prediction is that in the games where H2K win, Jankos either is going to get mid or top snowballing. The bot lane for Fnatic will be fine. Maybe they pick up a kill or something. But ultimately, the rest of the map is just too far behind, and H2K is just choking them out of the game. Any final thoughts?
No. I mean, my only final thought is I'm glad that we're getting – the fact that the playoffs are here means that we're getting closer to not having to watch EULCS for a couple months.
Jesus, now that's two for you.
I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to my European listeners, but I just your league is just
– your European listeners are – I guess I'm guilty by association here.
Basically, I'm just dragging you down with me. That's what we do. We're hosts and co-hosts. We're partners in this. You can't get away from it.
Partners in crime.
That's right.
Speaking of getting dragged down, let's move on to NA, where the first playoff match of the weekend we'll see Phoenix 1, the third best team in North America. If you called that Phoenix 1 would be the third best team in North America at the beginning of this split, please send us a tweet. Let us know.
Please do.
I've got lottery tickets I need you to look at, right? This team
exactly
has turned so far around from last season. And they're up against a Dignitas squad who kind of went through a mini resurgence halfway through the year with bringing on Coach Kopp. Now that they're, you know, trust the process, and now they're doing pretty good. What do you think about, where do you want to start with this? Do you want to talk about P1? Do you want to talk about Dig? Do you want to just go straight into the matchup?
I guess let's talk about Dig first. And we can look at the individual kind of, because I mean, with Phoenix 1, there's a lot we can talk about with individual players. and kind of what's going on there. So let's just look at Dignitas first. You know, this is a team that, like you said, they started off pretty slow in the earlier on in the split, but they really came on towards the end, and I'm really liking them. I don't know if they're going to be able to take it to Phoenix in this series, but I'm really liking. I mean, Someday is playing great in the top lane. Chaser is, you know, owning things in the jungle.
Yeah, he's finally showing up.
Yeah, exactly. He's finally showing up, and he's showing that he can be a top tier jungler, and that it's exactly the time when you need to do that. You have to peak late, and they're peaking at just the right times. So this is going to be a really good series. I'm very excited for it. I'm also very excited to be able to see it live in person. So watch for me on the stream. I know they don't really even show the crowd, but if you happen to catch my hand or something, it's fine. I'm sorry, Noah. It's not my fault that you live in the great city of New Orleans, but they don't do esports down there.
Well, I can't argue with you there.
You got to start something up. You got to start. I mean, you did some league stuff. You can start like a league down there. Get a team going. Maybe you'll get Overwatch soon. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Well, maybe in a world where I hypothetically get paid for any of this shit. But I want to take a look at P1 right here, right?
Let's do it.
I think P1, first and foremost, their roster is fairly deep. They have dynamic subs in both support and jungle, but their core of Ryu in the mid lane, Zig in the top lane, and Arrow at AD carry have been rock solid all year. And I think they are a huge part of why they've been able to stay on top. Because there have been, early on in the season when Inori was the de facto starting, was the jungler for P1, there were games where he struggled, but Arrow would be playing phenomenally, and Zig would do a great job of frontlining to get Inori back in the game, or like allow him to recover enough to the point where he could be relevant on AD assassins like Kha'Zix or Rengar. But yeah, like Zig's had a phenomenal performance. I think he would be in the conversation for best, like top three top laners, top four top laners. He might also be in the conversation. He might have been in the conversation for most improved if Hanser wasn't playing like a monster and putting on like an MVP year.
Yeah.
But I want to take a look at the jungle and support positions, which are kind of shaky right now. We didn't see Meteos play at all week 10, or he played like one game.
Yeah, exactly. And
then he got taken out in favor of Inori, who did not look that great. I think it's likely that Meteos starts, and then just because even though he has a weird champion pool, like the team plays is comfortable playing around it, and him playing a control tanky frontliner, which he's really good at. He's really good at frontline tanks. Allows Zig to play dynamic carries or weird pocket picks, like it's from anything between Kled to the Gangplank. Both of them, which he's undefeated on, to his rumble has been pretty decent.
I hope we get a game playing game in this series. That'd be fun.
In the support role, Stunt and Shady have been battling back and forth. They both look pretty interesting in the role. I don't really see dynamic change coming. The team dynamic changing dynamically with when one gets subbed in for the other. So I'm kind of just like, I don't know who's going to start. You know? When you looked at P1's performances in week 10, week 9, whatever, you could say, okay, yeah, Meteos is going to get the start. But the support roles, it was like, well, I don't know. They both look pretty decent.
That one is one that probably is going to be – it might be one that they switch out, you know, a couple games just to kind of see who has a hot hand, which – and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think what you keyed on earlier is a really big point with P1 and why they're playing so good is just the fact that they have such a deep roster. I mean – a lot of teams, you look like a team like CLG, they've got five players and that's it. So when one of their five players comes in, you got to bring Joey in overnight and throw Aphromoo into the ADC role.
Well, how often is Stixxay going to be dying in a hospital bed somewhere?
I mean, not often, but just the fact that you have that option to pull in somebody if you need to. I mean, if your players are playing good enough that you never need to sub, that's fine. But I mean, you look at a good team like SKT who, you know, spoiler alert, Wyatt thinks is the best team in the world, and Noah is just a hater who likes Samsung Galaxy
this week.
But it's fine. But even them, you know, you've got a couple of their positions where even in the middle of a good series, they're going to be switching players out just to keep everybody fresh, and they have that deep roster. So that way, not even if something happens injury-wise, but just that if somebody's having a bad day or if they're just not filling that matchup, they can switch people out. So that really gives P1 an edge, and is why they ended the split so well. And I think they're poised to go pretty deep into those playoffs.
I think I agree with parts of what you said.
Okay.
I think P1's roster depth gives them different dynamic looks approaching series, and it's harder for teams to predict what they're going to do. But I think for a majority of their year, a lot of their successes come from the fact that Arrow is the best AD carry in the NALCS, and it's not even close. And Zig has been true. Top four. And Ryu is really good. And especially right now, because I think Ryu is one of the best mid laners in the world at playing against metas, or against assassins, right? He's so good at assassin v assassins, or control mage versus assassin matchups. That and sometimes he underperforms, but he historically, Ryu is a huge benefactor from the playoff buff. But I think we spent a lot of time on P1 here. I want to talk about the matchup really quickly. Someday versus Zig. Who do you think is going to have more impact?
I'm gonna go Zig on that one.
Really? Okay. Interesting. You want to talk about Wei a little bit?
I don't know. Nothing is like jumps out at me ridiculously, but I just feel like with the way that him and Meteos just kind of play pretty well off of each other, I think it's going to allow Zig to have a little bit more impact than a player like Someday would.
Okay. And are you saying you'd like to like extend that to the top side of the map for P1 is going to outperform the top side of Dig's map?
Yeah, I think that's where I'm going with that one. Definitely. Okay,
for sure. I think it's safe to say Arrow's better than Laude.
Yes.
No offense, Laude. You're good. You're top 10 in your region, for sure. I think you are one of the better native AD carries in the league. That being said, I don't think you're better than Wild Pearl. Not gonna... If you're not better than Wild Pearl, you're sure as hell not better than Arrow. Right?
Definitely. I agree with that. And then Ryu's got Keen beat in the mid lane.
I don't know. Keen has been performing pretty well. I think I agree with you, but I just want to throw the little caveat for Keen.
I mean, Keen has been playing well. Yeah, but I just, Ryu, you know, I just feel like he has the more, his entire splits performance, you know, he's been solid the entire time, whereas Keen's kind of like coming on streaky. A little bit towards the end. Yeah, exactly. But Ryu has been consistent. You know, he's been consistently great all season long.
Okay. So I think we've talked P1 up enough. Predictions for this series.
I'm gonna go 3-2 on this one because even though I like P1, I think Dignitas, they've been playing so well lately that they're gonna steal a couple games. They're not gonna take the series, but they're gonna take a couple games.
Okay.
Are you feeling on this one?
I have not used up my safety slot, so I'm gonna say 3-1 to P1. I think.
How long you were thinking of that one?
It's last week. honestly, when I look at Phoenix One, I think they have a really solid map. They have really solid lanes, and I don't think Dignitas is good enough as a team—not mechanically individually, but as a team—to exploit the weaknesses that P1 has when Meteos is in the jungle. Right?
Yeah, definitely.
So I could potentially see Inori coming in, and maybe he pops off, maybe he throws. But I think with Meteos is going to help P1 greatly, and I think they're going to take the series 3-1. And that's going to lead into a coin flip of a series, in my opinion. Counter Logic Gaming versus FlyQuest. Why? What the hell are we supposed to expect? Like how?
There is no coin flip here. CLG are the overlords of the world.
Hello.
They will...
Have you been watching the same CLG all season?
I'm sorry. I am a CLG apologist. I will not balk at that. Are they going to win the split? No. But I just feel like I can never count them out when it comes to playoff series. And just FlyQuest has underwhelmed me so much over the last, four or five weeks that... I can't say with any certainty that they're gonna win a series. If the series was based on whose jerseys are fresher, then FlyQuest 100% would take the series. But
if CLG breaks out the USA jerseys or like the Canada jerseys,
I still think I would go with the white and gold that FlyQuest has. They're so clean. Okay. I love it so much. So, in all seriousness, it's probably gonna go down to the wire. This is basically a coin flip. It's a 50-50. These are both teams that are streaky. It's both teams that can play really well or they can play really bad. CLG plays really bad just because sometimes they just brain fart and don't know what they're doing. They'll, you know, do a 4-on-1 dive on a team, on a player, and end up losing all four players and a turret or something.
I don't think it's necessarily that, like, they lose their minds. I just think, like, sometimes one of them gets picked, and then it's like, oh, we can save this. We can fight. Friendship.
That's,
all die, and they get aced twice and still win the game somehow because Counter-Logic Gaming.
But, like, but it's fine because their friendship rings look so cool.
Right, but if I guess if we're going by the logic of CLG has anime magic, look at who they're playing. High is nothing if not the main character in an anime. And for better or for worse, FlyQuest, C9 White, C9 Gold, whatever you want to call them, have rose and fallen with High. And I think it's important to note that while High hasn't been looking super solid as of late, Houhi isn't the greatest mid laner in the world. Houhi, like High, has his unique pocket picks, right? Like, Houhi has the Aurelion, High's always going to go to Zed when he can. But I think when it comes to, like, postseason performances, from North American mid laners, you think High, right?
Yeah, agreed.
Mm-hmm. High, there's a reason Cloud9 has gotten the furthest at Worlds of any North American team in, like, the modern era. That's because High's shot calling is on point. I think High, I see that FlyQuest almost missing playoffs is going to sort of serve as a wake-up call for FlyQuest, right?
That's fair.
I think Ball's been performing really well. I think he matches up pretty well with Darshan. Darshan's also been playing really well for CLG, like almost carrying them to this point in the season. But Ball's has been a rock, and the meta favors some of his champion picks right now, like the Nautilus and the Rumble. I think Afro and Lemonation are both pretty inconsistent, but Lemonation can just play Karma or Lulu because that's the support meta nowadays. It's just like, I don't know how to make plays, so I guess I'm just gonna throw shields on somebody.
your hate for Karma and Lulu.
No, I'm a Karma main. I love Karma.
Your hate for Lulu is so strong.
It's like she shuts down every assassin and she makes every AD carry a tank. Ridiculous. And gives him attack speed and movement speed. But I digress. I think Stixxay, if he's healthy, should be able to beat Altec in that kind of skill matchup. But I think High's got the advantage in the mid lane. I think Moon matches well up against Xmithie. And overall, the X factors for both teams are as follows. CLG has the teamwork, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But FlyQuest have High's shot calling. They have the daring plays.
Yeah.
So you said, what did you say? What was your prediction for this series?
I'm going to go 3-2 CLG.
I'm going 3-2 FlyQuest.
Okay. Man, we are at odds on almost every one of these series. It'll be very interesting to see next week's podcast, see who's right.
Yeah, somebody keep score, please. Okay, yeah, overall, I think this weekend's going to be pretty good. But looking ahead, I am really excited to see postseason TSM and C9. This year, right?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And over in Europe, like, people make fun of Europe and G2 all the time for choking, but, like, it's G2. They're good. They're really good regionally. And Unicorns of Love, this is the best Unicorns of Love team we've ever seen in terms of, like, regional performance. And it'll be really interesting to see how they stack up against whoever emerges from the lower bracket or from the quarterfinals.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping we get a G2 Unicorns of Love finals. That would be very good. I'd love to watch that.
Oh, yeah? You'd love to pretend to watch it and complain, you mean? Got him?
I mean, okay, I watch it. I watch the series. Yeah, well, I didn't watch that stupid Rocket Origin series, though.
I watched that.
For 80 ages. I did not watch that one.
How'd you not? That was so entertaining, just watching
Watching them take like 12,000 barons and still not end the game. Yeah,
like five barons, one game. It was like, feels good.
Not very fun.
Just to clarify, our supposed hate for Europe doesn't come from the fact that we're just like, oh, NA's better. Lol.
I think Noah's right. Like, it's not like we're just saying like, oh, NA is the best thing ever. My favorite CSGO team is Astralis, and they're from EU. So it's clear that I'm not like biased towards NA teams only. I like watching the best of whatever game that I'm watching, and the EU LCS is just not the best.
So we've talked about NA, we've talked about EU. Do you want to talk about the patch before we wrap up for the day?
I think we can save that for another one. That one's, it's a little bit far out. I mean, yeah, as you guys, I'm sure, know, new patch is coming, 7.6.
7.7.
We got new champions.
Wait, it's 7.7, right? Sorry to cut you off.
Is it 7? Oh, no, you're probably right. I think you're right. 7.7, my bad. So we have the new patch coming out.
What are you doing?
Probably. I know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. But that, you know, not coming out probably till after playoffs, before MSI. We've got the new champions that look pretty good. But I think in order to devote a little bit more time, we'll probably wait till after the playoffs die down a little bit. For now, we're just going to stick to all of this hot and spicy.
Oh, what? Yo, shit. Yes. Like in, 6 hours, Afrika Freaks versus MVP.
Oh, that's right. We probably should talk about that.
That was cool. We're covering that series. We're gonna. That's what's gonna make us angry tomorrow.
We are. We should. Yes.
LCK specialist over here.
I know. I'm terrible. This one is gonna be. It's only a best of three. It's just a wild card.
Yep.
We haven't gotten into the best of fives yet. The winner of this is gonna go on to face KT Rolster. They'll probably lose. God, this is such a close one. The LCK has been so wishy-washy this season. I mean, you literally never know what you're going to get. You might get really good teams. You might get really bad teams. And this, you know, these two, Afrika and MVP, are teams that they had to play a tiebreaker to figure out who was going to get the side selection and get the higher seed. So they're not, you know, the best that the LCK has to offer. I'm going to give it to Afrika just because they have played – they seem to kind of rise to the occasion a little bit more. You know, they've got a couple wins against some pretty good teams. Like, they beat SKT this season. They went 2-0 against your favorite team, Samsung Galaxy. So there's that.
Wait, did they? Hello?
Yeah, they won both series against Samsung Galaxy. So
sandbagging. Excuses.
So, I think Afrika's going to take this one. It's probably going to be a 2-1 just because not many games or not many series lately in the LCK have gone 2-0. So it's probably going to be a 2-1. And then next week we'll get into the really good matchups because whoever wins this will play against KT Rolster. And then
that's exciting.
That will go into Samsung Galaxy and then that will go into SKT. I love the format of the LCK though, yeah, by the way.
It's impossible to replicate in other regions, I think.
But anyways, do you have a prediction on that? No, I know you don't watch a ton of it.
I watch what I can, right? And true. I read all your recaps.
Of course.
Because I have to edit them. But I think it's really hard to look at MVP and think they're going to be able to win a consistent series. I think Max popped off so hard against KT, he broke his back. So I'm gonna agree with you with a 2-1 to Afrika. But it should be an interesting series.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that's going to do it for us this week. So we'll be back next week to look at the results of some of these series. We'll have, by the time we get back on this one, we'll have two LCK series in the bag. We'll have all of the EU and NA stuff. So we'll be looking at the next rounds for there. So we'll have a lot of stuff to talk about next week. But I think that's going to do it.
Okay, yeah. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can follow me at @RW_NoahWaltzer on Twitter. Wyatt, where are you at?
I'm at Wyatt_RW. And that's going to do it for this week of Fiesta Watch.
Right. So for all of us here at Fiesta Watch, we'd like to thank you very much for listening. Have fun. Stay safe. Wash your hands before you talk to strangers. Tune in next week. Peace out.
Bye, guys.